Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live 5 days a week on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, AM FM affiliates across the United States. You can have a look at the American Freedom Radio website and click on the affiliates button, and that will give you a list of radio stations that you can listen to. In New Zealand, we have Rush FM 87.7 in Hamilton, and also in the Southland area, we have iFinity FM, iFinityFM.com, I believe. So we're broadcasting all around the world, and we try to talk about things that are of significance. And my very special guest, Dr. Rick Miller, is one of those many, many voices who essentially you would not hear if not for the alternative media. Richard, welcome back.
Thank you. Sorry, I got carried away on my agricultural thing.
Well, you spent 35 years on it. I think being carried away was kind of
the most. They call me the postman here. You know, we don't have to go backward and do it the way Grandpa did it. I've got a 280Z that I restored. Datsun 280Z. It was the one that won the steeplechase up Pikes Peak. I'm a physicist. I like old sports cars. And I restored it the last couple of years, using it as a metaphor on restoring my body. When I replaced the rust on the one panel, I took and put a pin in one of my hips, that kind of thing. I've got so much titanium now in my body, I couldn't even consider cremation. But what I'm doing this year as a project with my 280Z is I'm going to convert it over to alcohol and run it off my garden as a way to be off the grid. That's what I would call prepper agriculture, where you are growing some of your own food for heat and light and power. And there are things you can do better than corn, like I do comfrey for the bricks of sugar. And my costs on that are only going to be about $2 a gallon for the alcohol. And if they have a problem making Jack Daniels, I'll switch it over to methanol. That's the way that works. And they can't regulate me that way.
So I wanted to move on and spend the second hour talking about one of your other expertise, which is the area of consciousness. Would you be able to give us a bit of a backgrounder on that?
Yeah, I took my first hit of LSD with Timothy Leary back in 1964. When it was still legal. Harvard wanted to see what would happen if they gave it to a genius. They went through a bunch of studies. I was selected out of Washington State, and they came in, Timothy Leary and several others, and they talked to my mother and my professor at Washington State University. I was not prepared. I had never done anything. You know, I was a nerd. I still am in some ways. I remember I was at Deception Pass up at Hurricane Ridge, looking down 2,000 feet into Puget Sound, and the waters were boiling, colors and patterns and everything, and Timothy Leary leaned over and he said, "Wouldn't it be neat to jump?" I remember discovering Aldous Huxley and his doors of perception and how they were slamming shut in my head. And it was so vast, so rich, that it wasn't about paranoia. It was about the wonderment of how incredibly deep consciousness was. And really, what's actually happening, lysergic acid amide is a neurotransmitter that the brain actually creates, one of Timothy Leary's neurologic circuits. And LSD is a toxin, in a sense, and is within 20 minutes of ingestion broken down into all the inorganic salts and into the urine, and the resulting 20 hours of tripping is a result of your own brain chemistry in over-response. Now, what that does is it kickstarts your production of your own brain chemistries, like dimethyltryptamine is another one, ketamine is another, marijuana is another. These were all outlined by Leary. And the way I have envisioned it, it's like the way we wrap information into memes, whether something is physical, emotional, intellectual, It's a geometric enfolding or unfolding outward of information. It means it's beyond space-time. It's something more fundamental with hyperconsciousness and what you could call a hologram. A hologram is basically defined as n dimensions of information in n minus one dimensions. It's like a fractal, a abbreviation or resolution of the information or the hologram. And so the emotional plane in this model then would be seen as the physical plane with more detail. And that is why the higher self communicates to us not in symbols, but in feelings and senses that we can't identify as one of the five. When we started encountering extrasensory perception, we called it an extra sense, but in fact, it always came into consciousness in one of the five basic senses, clairaudience, clairvoyance, clairascension. There was ways that the conscious mind could not grasp how it could know something that was beyond space-time. How does it do that? And so it goes through a series of little rigmaroles, including astral projection, telepathy, clairvoyance, radiesthesia, and, of course, the precognition. And those were the five interstates that Rind originally tried to break information down. Now, it turns out that our concept of time is really basically a subset of a holographic system, which is about information, not space or time. Lawrence Lushon wrote a book called The Medium, The Mystic, and The Physicist, where he said the three grand illusions are space, time, and ego. Now, ego is not an illusion per se. It's a part of consciousness necessary for survival. But in the whole scheme of things, it's a little tiny dot in the big picture of what consciousness represents. And why consciousness is a very limited state. I did this urban survival skills with Matt Stein in Reno last week, where mine was called critical decision-making power tools as used by Navy SEALs. Yes, I was SEAL unit number one. I was their physicist. We put the team together. It was a little different than the current teams in that we chose our candidates on their intuition, not their strength or their ability to blow up a building. And originally, what we wanted to do is enhance that so that when you, rather than flip a coin in the air to go right or left, what you did is had a 10-second protocol where you could somehow grasp something that consciousness could not and then go with it. If you're in the middle of zombie land, do you go right or left? And if you follow your gut and you work with hypnosis, my SEALs were able to increase their ability in guessing 400 times over where they are in normal conscious states. There is an altered state. It's very well defined right between here and there. That's where your ability in guessing increases 400 times. What I did is other studies in consciousness to move up the ladder in making super soldiers with other levels of consciousness. Because you start with the physical plane. And so we worked with polysaccharides, you know, delivering oxygen to the body on a cellular level using pharmaceutical mushrooms. We would hybridize them using snake venom, trying to enhance the hybrid forms so that we had superfoods or true power tools. And then take that metaphor into other areas, like using biofeedback, brain drivers, didgeridoo for continuous breathing. What in all true martial arts, you're taught the difference in terms of speed over precision made the distinction between, let's say, Tai Chi or a Chan Buddhist form moving into a Shaolin form, which would be Hung Gao or Hung Gar. Now, with breathing, you can create an altered state of consciousness with controlling breath that it would make time slow down so that everything is in slow motion. You're hallucinating, But the precision of holding that edge right there would allow you to experience your movements as Tai Chi rather than Hung Gao, and allow you to have a far superior precision in your movement just because of slowing down consciousness. And these are the kinds of things that is my second book, which were the 8 protocols dealing with each of Leary's neurologic circuits. And there are, going right on up the scale, all different forms of that, and how they're attacking us now with the current trends in mind control. That's what my talk was about when I did Nexus Magazine. And it was the new trends in mind control and how to defend yourself. Synthetic telepathy is pretty simple. What you do is you just mind your thoughts. And if you don't like your thought or it's counterproductive, you just eliminate it. Whether it's an important thought or not, it's going to detract you and create a doubt. Once you have a doubt, you have a thought form to produce, how did Merlin put it? Anything not specifically forbidden is mandatory. That means if it's possible, you can count on it. And so what you want in decision making is a place in yourself that doesn't have doubt. And that is an altered state. And that's what we do now is I study these different layers in terms of what you can do. You know, even tweaking and paranoia have their place in the scheme of things, just like ego. And they're tools to be used. Now, in order to do some of these things, they're more difficult. You know, I mentioned my automobile. That's mythic living, where everything that you do is in metaphor or a reflection of other things going on in your life as a metaphor. They would say, in Jungian psychotherapy, for example, that illnesses are a way that your subconscious is communicating to your consciousness, and as if you don't get it, the illness gets worse, like a Mack truck drives over you or whatever. And once you've gotten the message, there's no need for the disease. That's called honest journaling, where you form dialogue with yourself. And that's extremely important because everybody has different ways they talk to themselves. What you need to do is set up your own protocols, because what you're seeking is resolutions of information in the hologram. The brain is basically seen as a four-dimensional hologram of 5 space. That means you could change the movie.
So in a way, people get to experience whatever they want to experience.
Just that's exactly correct. Thing. The old Thelma Cartel saying, I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't have believed it.
So in that sense, do you believe maybe government or politicians should adopt these type things so that they can stop thinking about ways to destroy everybody's life?
That's a leading question. You mean them and us? That's a Lao Tzu. You know, how did the Borg put it? Resistance is futile. You try to convince them they can't win, and then the war is over. That's Lao Tzu in The Art of War. The whole concept of it is that you have personal responsibility for your own evolution.
Indeed, and we'll talk about more of that personal responsibility protocol after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.